We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And brought to you by your local Nissan dealers. If there was any air left in the Steelers float, the balloon, that was the Steely McBean balloon that was bouncing around Manhattan during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, if there was any air left in that thing after getting drubbed by the Bengals 41-10, it is now flat as a pancake with the news that Hayden is officially out and Cam Hayward is sick, and now a total question mark for Sunday's game.
There's nothing sadder than like a flat balloon that's lost all its air. And when I see one sitting around my house, my overwhelming wish and desire and what I end up doing is to put the balloon out of its misery and quickly pop it, which is what I feel like a loss would do to any like lingering, weird aspirations people have of some miracle Steelers turnaround.
Doran Dickerson is with us. He's in Charlotte for a game where it looks like Pitt will have all its weapons against Wake Forest for all the ACC marbles on Sunday, or on Saturday night, excuse me. My God, Doran, how do you now on defense come up with a plan of attack or muster any resistance against the Ravens?
What? Well, you know what, and I said this the other day about even the Pitt game, because obviously Wake Forest's offense is very potent. They can score points. Sam Hartman's a really good quarterback. They have a nice offense, as I just said. And I said, in order to figure out a way to stop them, and this goes with the Steelers, and this is something that I learned more when I was an NFL player, not as much as whenever I was a college player, is tendencies. You know, you're not going to revamp your whole defense. You're not going to change your schemes on defense, but in order for you to slow down a team, offensive high power team, you have to find tendencies, whether it's the guard and his stance, the way he pass blocks, whether it's the quarterback, his feet. We saw that video of Ben Roethlisberger in the offseason of whenever he was running certain plays, his feet were a certain direction. That's a tendency. So I think the only way for the Steelers to stop Lamar Jackson is to find a tendency in his game and attack that. You're not going to be able to
really
switch up your defense.
But with who? Daniel Archibong and Montrevis Adams and Henry Mondu?
Like the name of a defensive line in like the Longest Yard. They just make up some names for a movie.
What's the Keanu Reeves movie that you like about guys who suck at football, Donnie?
Replacements.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. I don't want to hear any slander on that.
I'm saying they were replacement level players.
Yes.
They were guys off the scrap heap.
I kept thinking that when people said Archibong's name, I thought they were making a joke that
about
it was
smoking a bong?
That it was Archibald, but they just called him Archibong or something.
Bing
for
bong.
Fun.
Like that whole
what
deal?
What is that? Stop what we're doing here. He wanted to, Donnie wanted to stand up and not let the replacements be
I just
tarnished.
Walk around the house and I say that now.
What is bing bong? What
I just
am
go
I
bing bong.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a cool saying.
Oh, gosh.
It's part
Please
of the
don't say that.
It's part of 2021.
Bing bong.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Some words and some sayings just take off.
I don't understand it.
You don't need to. Some things are better left.
I think that you make up things in your head and you think that they're actual things that are going
no,
on.
No, they are.
Doran, this one actually is.
Like
this is a social media phenomenon.
Who says,
everybody,
I've never heard it.
Everyone
I'm younger than you guys.
Everyone on TikTok Doran, is going bing bong.
Doran, I hate to break this to you.
Bing bong. It's everywhere.
I type in bing bong on Google. First article. The internet is obsessed with saying bing bong.
There you go.
Yahoo Sports.
What does bing bong mean? One more. NYC mayor, bing bong, Jacob DeGrom and Trey Young all received votes. I have no idea what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, people voted bing bong for New York City mayor. Maybe bing bong can start at nose tackle for the Steelers on Sunday against the Ravens. It is brutal, man. Like, this is
That's the only thing that you can really do, right? I mean, you have to find a tendency. You know, you're going into this game.
But the guys that set the tone for you are out on defense. Like, the Cam Haywards and TJ Watts who get in there before the game.
Well, they better pray Hayward can actually somehow go. Like, it seems like that's like a 50-50 proposition
right
now.
So, you know, when we were doing the eyeball emojis earlier, the reason why, when I said to Dorn it was a HIPAA thing, I was actually being... That was not just tongue-in-cheek. I was being partly serious.
Right.
Is that I did not have, and neither did you, like, confirmation that it was specifically, like, a failed COVID test.
Correct.
So they've had guys like Banner that have missed practice because they were sick. Kenny Pickett was out earlier for Pitt this week because he was sick. We're in this new frontier, this new world, where there's a designation, there's a line between just feeling sick, having a cold, having the flu, and having COVID. And when you can play and when you can't. So we don't know with Cam Hayward right now. The Steelers aren't putting him in COVID protocol. Even Steelers media seems to be confused
by this.
There's
a definite split of opinion right now among the Steelers media, the people that are down there all the time, as to how likely it is he's going to play or not play.
Chris Adamski from the Trib says that Hayward's on track to play on Sunday.
Mark Cabali of The Athletic is putting out the doomsday. The Steelers' defensive line could be Chris Wormley, Daniel Archibong, and who was the other one he decided to go
Mondu.
Mondu, yes.
Well, maybe it was Montrevis Adams, the guy they just picked up off
no,
the
you're
Saints
right.
practice squad.
I lumped Archibong in there because it's fun to say bing bong.
Yeah, it is. I've got people in my mentions who are saying just tank now. Just start to prepare for 2022 and think about the draft pick. It's over.
Is that the overwhelming number of people in your mentions, would you say?
The ones that are...
Doran, the people you talk to, when you talk about the Steelers,
they're talking about Pitt and going to the Peach Bowl.
The people,
they're not talking
about
the Steelers right now.
The people who aren't talking about Pitt, Doran, whenever you send out a tweet about the Steelers, do you sense that people are completely done with this team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the city, right? I mean, that's how... Us as Pittsburghers, that's how we roll. You know, we've been tainted and we've been spoiled for so long with winning in all of our sports, Penguins, Steelers. I mean, just over the years, the past 40, 50 years, they've been winning. So anything that's negative, they attach to it. You know, even I'll even say myself, I mean, even with Pitt football, after they lost Western Michigan, oh, you know, the season's over with. This is a terrible loss. This is going to ruin the season. That's just how we are because we're so used to winning. So the majority of people are thinking that the Steelers season is done. It's time to move on to next year. It's time to get rid of Ben. He's aged out. You know, they're looking at every single negative angle towards, you know, the team. So everybody is really in a tank right now whenever it comes to the Steelers. And, you know, that's just kind of the track record of Pittsburgh, you know, for all sports.
Yeah, but I think it's a new... I mean,
is
you're
this
saying
like a new low?
Well, but I'm saying like that thinking about like the Pirates is pretty much an annual thing. I would say that this is a very
is
unique situation for the Steelers because of how old Ben is. If you've got if you had a bad year 8 or 9 years ago, it's like, all right, we'll reload, we'll recalibrate, we'll come back with either different assistant coaches or different players that are brought in free agency or different draft picks that help them out.
The tweaks, the changes are tweaks. They're not wholesale changes. They're alterations. They're here. A slight move.
What did Bouchette say yesterday?
There.
He said they're in rebuilding mode, and guess what? It's not a 1 year quick fix.
Well,
it's this is going to take time. That's what he said to us. That is your Steelers sage and Steelers Hall of Fame reporter saying that, Chris.
How did we get to a point? And I don't think I'm putting it on blast here because it's out in print. A month ago, Ed and a lot of other people, myself included, I went back and looked at the columns I was writing then. We're like, hey, the Steelers are slowly coming along. How in 4 weeks? Have we gone
because
from
the defense looked like they had players
this.
That could still make them great and they could win
so
with
defense.
So do you think
that we're all making
their
a snap
offense,
judgment?
No, their offensive line looked like it was moving, it was progressing, it was getting better. And what happens, and Doran can talk about this, is that when you are a rookie, the left tackle is a mid-round pick rookie. The center is a rookie. It's not always... Week 1, week 17, you're your worst in week 1, you're your best in week 17. There's a cliche called the rookie wall for a reason. Guys don't always, they might be better in October than they were in September, but they're not always down the stretch at their best. The NFL's a different animal than college. It's a whole different ballgame. So I think that's what's happened. Your offensive line is very young outside of Trey Turner. It was, we probably should have factored this in, that they would probably show signs of life around the midpoint of the season, and then there was the chance that it fell off a cliff again, which is what's happening.
I believe, and you're right, there is a rookie wall, and that does happen, especially with this young offensive line. But I believe that as demoralizing that tie was against the Lions, they had a little bit of fight left, but it was very demoralizing to tie a team that hasn't won a game this year. And they fought back, and they showed some life against the Chargers. And I think that loss, you know, that late loss after they just gave it their all in L.A., I think that just crushed them. I think that crushed the Steelers. I think after that loss.
Like, it took a lot out of them to come back in the fourth quarter, and they still didn't win.
Yes. Yes. I think that was the telling tale of the season right there. I mean, they showed every bit of ounce of energy and life that they had to fight back in that game to try to get a win. If they win that game, I think that we're talking a little bit different right now. But I think that they just gave it their whole – the whole all that they had in that game.
You know what's indicative of what they are to me? Is that game, so they get the touchdown pass that puts them back trailing, but they still have time to go down the field. We've seen Roethlisberger do it before. We've seen him do it a couple weeks ago to the Bears, basically, although in this case he was going to need a touchdown. When rubber meets the road, to use Mike Tomlin's one of his favorite cliches, Joey Bosa just blasts through that offensive line and obliterates Roethlisberger. They give up two monster sacks back-to-back. So, like, when it came time to get down to brass tacks, they had nothing to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that was more of a talent thing at that point. There's a first-round talent blasting through the middle of your line that you have kind of arrogantly put together with mid-round picks and assumed that it's all going to gel under the tutelage of a guy who's in his first year as a head offensive line coach in the NFL. I would love if Creed Humphrey was a Steeler right now. I would love if Pat Freiermuth still was, and if they were just with a different running back and a better offensive line.
Yeah, well, what difference does it make, though, with what their defense looks like going into this game? Their defense is in tatters right now.
To go back to how you answered my question, which is their defense got, you know, the first thing I said when I said, how did we get from they're getting better to full rebuild in 4 weeks, and the first thing you said was defense. To me, that is the far more ominous sign, because how many first-round picks have they invested on that side who just either aren't here right now or aren't playing well? It's not just rookie offensive linemen. It's a third-year linebacker that can't get out of his own way. It's a fifth-year – it's a safety in Edmonds who looks every bit like a mid-round pick even though he was a first. It's Minka.
They didn't pick up the option on him.
It's Minka having to play basically, as Ryan Clark put it, fifth linebacker. It's TJ Watt being really good when he's healthy, but not being healthy enough. It's their absolute linchpin, Dorn, and their heart and soul, Cam Hayward, being like a one-man band now up front. It's Alex Highsmith, everyone's saying, oh, nice pick, could be really good. Looks explosive. Looks have been a little deceiving when it comes to production. The defense's complete fall is what is really alarming to me.
Look, like, you know that the Steelers are in shambles as a defense and as a team when everybody puts so much onus and so much, oh my God, he's out, whenever Spillane is hurt and he's out. I mean, I've seen so much coverage.
You're right.
On Robert Spillane being out, whether it's his injury or whether it's for COVID. Oh, man, Robert Spillane's out. Now, that is a backup linebacker, a special teams guy, and people are worried and upset and just in shambles that he is out of this game. Now, you know the thought process and the vision of people in the Steelers whenever that is a story. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Let's think about it in that kind of mindset and that frame, that people are really worried about Robert Spillane not being able to play middle linebacker for the Steelers. That's where we're at.
I've said that a bunch, Doran. Like, that's been one of my big sticking points is, if you had told me, I don't know, last year that, Chris, 1 year from now, Devin Bush is going to be theoretically healthy and you are going to be sitting here bummed out that you got a negative injury update on Robert Spillane, I'd have just thrown my headset and said, well, pack it in right now. It's all done.
And that's where we actually are at. I would love to have Roberts. Let me put it this way. I've said this to Pony. I would much, much rather after Sunday, you know, Sunday at 8 o'clock, right, and you're digesting this game, and if it's a loss, I would much rather say, man, they took advantage of Robert Spillane playing downhill like a runaway dump truck, and they hit Mark Andrews over the seams multiple times for huge plays, rather than what I feel like I'm going to say, which is they ran the ball right at Devin Bush over and over and over again, and Devin Bush and the Steelers couldn't stop them, and they took the Steelers' heart and stomped on it.
I just want this game to live up to its main event billing. When the Steelers play the Ravens, and it only happens in Pittsburgh one day out of 365 days, and you wait all year to see these two combatants with their storied history of beating the crap out of each other play, I don't want it to be decided by guys named Derek Tuska. You know, I just don't want the game to have such a watered-down, diluted version.
How can it have a main event feel if there aren't any of the main event players playing?
Right. This is an undercard boxing match with an amateur boxer fighting a really good boxer that only has one or two losses.
Well, yeah, well, Lamar Jackson's still in it. I mean, they have their...
This is McGregor and Mayweather. The names are really big, but anybody that knows anything knows that one side of it is almost assuredly going to dust the other side. Barring something literally act of God level at this point, it feels like one side is going to completely outclass the other.
And we're all going to watch it. We're all going to be enthusiastic about it because, look, it's Steelers and Ravens. It has that rivalry name and title to it, just like McGregor and Mayweather. We're all going to watch it, but we know what's going to happen. That's kind of how I look at it. It's a main event, it's just a title main event.
I know what's going to happen to Donnie in the gravel lot before the game.
Do you, Pony?
I do.
Do you really?
I really do know.
You know what'll be consumed?
I think I do.
Vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
How's that sound, Doran?
Donnie, isn't there a guy that gives? Tell us about the crown guy.
Yeah, so there's a guy that shows up. He doesn't do prime. He doesn't do night games. So if it's Sunday night or Monday night, he's not there.
Is this guy formally part of your tailgate crew?
No.
Okay.
But
he's a gravel lot guy, though.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
he's president. He's the mayor of the gravel lot.
Yeah. He's like a gravel lot original. He's like your Tommy Dreamer or your Sandman if you're an ECW
wrestling
fan.
So he's an OG original gravel.
Yeah. Ever since I've been going there, he shows up every week. And it's like a caravan. It's like two or three cars. They have a whole. They will set up more Crown Royal than you can even imagine. And I have no idea where or how they get it. But yeah, they get the whole place
and
going.
And what does he do? He walks around toasting everybody.
Every half hour, starting at whatever time. It depends on what time kickoff is. They used to actually bring out a buzzer or like a siren, and he would crank a siren. Everybody would just flock to this guy's tailgate. They would have shots for everybody for free. Crown Royal. They had all different kinds. They had the apple, the vanilla, whatever they are.
Pony, your thoughts on this tradition?
I could see myself getting into it. I think I would need it for this
game. I think
game.
It would have a very narrow shelf life for me in terms of age.
What do they call it? An
it
Irish
fun.
Wake? Irish wake where you go and you're drinking at like a
bar for somebody to remember something.
Yeah, I think that's how I would look at this game. You know what? I don't even know. Like when I went to Jerry McNamara's last game his senior day, I got thrown out because I was so drunk I fell asleep during the game because I was so depressed that it was over because I had pulled a all-nighter. I had stayed up for like 24 hours plus.
Just to see Jerry McNamara's last game.
Well, it was yeah,
because
waiting in line, paying homage
to
somebody.
Jerry McNamara, guy who was like smoking cigs before.
What do you mean? He's one of the greatest college basketball players of all time.
Didn't Syracuse make like multiple deep NCAA tournament runs post McNamara? And you were acting like it was the end of an era.
Yes, I was. All right, I don't need your peanut gallery critique. I'm just imparting a story that when I felt like I was going to see the end of something. I needed to get liquored up in order to, like, take away the pain.
And what were your preferred weapons of choice to get liquored up?
Funny you should ask.
Poor Donnie.
Whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Is this just going to become
booze?
Thank you.
Thank you, Rocky.
Is this going to devolve into a day where we just try to set up Donnie to play that as many times as possible?
I just got a text from Zeiss. He said he's almost to Charlotte, and when he gets there, he has a plan for what he's going to do with Doran tonight.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Have fun with that, Doran.
Which one of those sounds most appealing to you right now? Those alcohol options.
I think I'd need beer at 3 o'clock.
I'll tell you which one's dead last for me. Somebody offered me tequila that was not the best tequila on earth at 3:23 p.m. That's what it would have to be, like something that costs thousands of dollars a bottle.
No, you don't have to go that expensive.
Whatever it is, the most expensive one. Somebody offers me tequila and it's not that. I'm going to like throw it back at
them. What do you mean Michael Jordan drinks tequila like 12 hours a day? He has a nice sipping tequila. There are nice drinking tequilas. They don't all have worms in there where you do shots of them with limes and salt.
Bougie Muller.
There is no drinking taste I associate more with bad things are imminent than the taste of tequila.
All right, so the Steelers are even more shorthanded for Sunday's rivalry game with the Ravens.
From what I heard inside the Steelers organization, they really like Sam Howell. I don't know what the plan is, but...
Wait a minute. Time out. T.O., you're telling me they like Howell more than Pickett?
That's what I was told.
Oh, man.
Brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Steelers, Ravens, Pittsburgh 5-5-1. Now it looks like Cam Hayward might not play. A lot of our listeners are already thinking about 2022 and getting on with their life post-Ben Roethlisberger, looking at quarterbacks for next year. And that's Richie Walsh last night with me on the sports call saying, hey, not only do the Steelers like Sam Howell, they like him more than Kenny Pickett. Doran Dickerson's in Charlotte to watch Kenny Pickett play tomorrow night. How's that hit you, Doran?
Well, I mean, you know, Howell's a more prototypical quarterback, I guess, in NFL scouts' eyes. You know, Kenny does possess a lot of the great traits that you want in a quarterback, with leadership being number one. He extends plays with his feet. A lot of his big plays come off of his feet and the way he moves out of the pocket. So, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me whenever you look at the prototypical quarterback, the big arm, the good size. Obviously, Howell can move a little bit too. So it doesn't surprise me that much. I just think that Kenny Pickett is a winner. Not saying that Sam Howell isn't, but he just possesses that trait that he could lead a team in any game and have any opportunity of turning out a win. So, it doesn't surprise me, but, you know, it's like 50-50 with me. I'm like neutral on that, on this situation.
I know that pro evaluations are obviously based on projecting a guy to the league. That's why Jason White never played in the league. That's why guys who maybe didn't put up crazy numbers sometimes end up being great pros. Tom Brady, you know, doesn't put up insane numbers at Michigan, greatest ever, blah, blah, blah. Man, Sam Howell looked like hot trash every time I watched him play. Right from the first game of the year when they lost to Virginia Tech.
He had 3 picks in that game.
Yeah, dude, he stunk. If Spencer Rattler hadn't completely lost his job and just had that all melt down for him at Oklahoma, I think more attention would be paid to the fact that Howell didn't do anything at North Carolina this
year. I don't think that Howell looks like your traditional quarterback in terms of build. Pickett's bigger than him, taller than him.
You know
at least.
Who Sam Howell looks like? You want me to scare everybody here? You know who he's built like?
Oh, no.
Doran, are you ready?
If you say Baker Mayfield.
One Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but he runs.
Yeah, that just means he's going to get tattooed in
but
the pros.
The thing that Tomlin keeps talking about is mobility, mobility, mobility. Howell had 815 rushing yards this year and 11 rushing touchdowns.
Against college opposition.
Pickett didn't do that against college opposition.
He's not Lamar Jackson. Is what I'm saying. And he's not even Josh Allen as a runner. He's 6'1", 220.
Yeah,
he's
going
to get pulverized.
Well, he might be more Justin Herbert, who almost had 100 rushing
Justin
yards
Herbert's
against the Steelers.
Justin Herbert's also 6'6".
I know, dude. I don't agree. If they think that Howell is a better quarterback than Pickett, then I do question their evaluation process. They did pick Mason Rudolph. I mean, I just don't. If they have both guys available to them at like the 15th pick in the draft and they take Howell over Pickett, I will be livid. I will freak out. And for good reason. That's a depressing thing to hear.
I know.
That as far as ACC quarterbacks go, they think the North Carolina guy is better than our guy.
I'm wondering
what can actually be the reason then? I mean, you know, I threw out some of the things that they might be looking at.
I think the mobility thing is the biggest
one. Do you think
one.
It's that big of a gap between him and Pickett? I don't.
Mobility-wise?
Right, yes.
Well, one guy has 200 rushing yards and the other is 800.
That doesn't mean that Kenny Pickett can't scramble. Maybe he chooses to use his arm
more. Well, we got to come up with reasons for why they like Howell more than Pickett, and that's the best one I can come up with right now. I mean, I don't think that it should be the end-all, be-all or the difference between the two, but when I look at their numbers, it can't be the passing stats because Pickett blows them away.
Do they think
it's not a competition.
Do they think that Pickett's a one-year wonder? Hal has two seasons prior. This is his worst season he's coming off of. He had 30-7 each of the last 2 years, and now his numbers took a downturn. And you look at Pickett, and he had a couple 13-9 touchdown interceptions. I mean, that's the best thing I'd come up with.
Well, what was Joe Burrow before his last year? What was Mac Jones before his last year?
I understand that, and I think that's why Joe Burrow is – well, wasn't Mac Jones the excuse was he was waiting behind guys? I mean, in Joe Burrow's case, I think that's why people are saying that Kenny Pickett, the closest comparison there is a poor man's Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow, I'll point out, went from 16 touchdowns and 5 picks to 66-0 touchdowns at LSU, also did it in the toughest league in the country.
They definitely look at resume. I mean, I know that. And it even goes back to high school. I even think that, you know, they think of pedigree coming out of high school. Obviously, Howell probably had more offers than Kenny Pickett and a lot more upside. You look at Joe Burrow. He obviously was at Ohio State and transferred.
Do you know what,
Doran,
I don't doubt what you're saying there at all, like as being obviously part of their process. You know what is very weird about this then? Kevin Colbert's got the through line for all this, right? They get Ben Roethlisberger when he had very few. I know the physical stuff was obvious there, right? But that guy wasn't getting a ton of insane offers maybe until very late in the game. He went to a MAC school, which Tomlin likes to make fun of now, and then Ben makes fun of him right back. You know what I mean? Like that pedigree thing wouldn't have applied on Ben's account.
I mean, but Ben obviously had all the tools of being that prototypical big quarterback. You know, I mean, if you have that.
Well, you know what? You know what you're saying speaks to? That they go back to pedigree? Phillip Rivers, from what I remember, had way more high school and then obviously bigger school pedigree.
But it's also a tough comparison to make because Tomlin wasn't around back then, and we know that Tomlin has a huge hand in these drafts now.
I think more with defensive players.
I think that they're as petty as – you know, not drafting Phillip Rivers because of his throwing motion. I swear that scouts are that petty. They're like, well, I don't like his throwing motion. All right, well, we're going to draft somebody else. It comes down to that sometimes.
This game on Saturday night for Pitt is actually a hugely controversial game. Did you guys know that?
It's because of Wake Forest's weird conference schedule, isn't it?
No. Do you know why this is such a hugely controversial game, Doran?
Why? No,
I don't. Because this game... is one of the things that the committee is at loggerheads over. They can't push this new expanded college football playoff format through because they can't come up with an agreement or a compromise on what should happen to the teams that win conference championship games. Half of the people on the committee want, if you win your conference championship game and the Power Five conferences, like
you're
the ACC, you go into the playoff as one of the 12 teams, and the other half says, no, there should be no conference requirements. It should just be subjective when we take the 12 best teams.
Whose side do you find more sympathetic?
I like the conference champion one.
Well, here's the nightmare scenario, because I do think I think that whole thing stems from the fact that Alabama sometimes cannot win their conference, and it looks pretty obvious on paper, like they're one of the four best teams, like right now.
Yeah, but there would still be room if you just took the five conference champions. You'd still have seven at large
spots. In an expanded
spot.
But here, let me give you a doomsday scenario for this, right, or where the other half is coming from. I'll just use the ACC as an example. Clemson goes in there as a 12-0 team or something. Now, they would still get in this spot, right?
Okay.
Let's say Pitt comes in 8-4. And Narduzzi pulls one of his stunts like he sometimes does.
Like when Doran picked Pitt to beat Clemson in the ACC championship game
like
a few years
ago. When Pitt actually went into Death Valley and beat them as like a team that was not as highly regarded. And that happens in the ACC title game.
Mm-hmm.
and then you have like a 4 or 5 loss Pitt, and they get a ticket to the dance.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. Just make them one of the lower seeded teams.
Like, yep, sacrifice them to the number one seed?
Well, if I think it's 12, so they would play the 5 seed in the first round or whatever.
But yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's the way the NCAA tournament works. If you win the ACC tournament, you could be Pitt and go winless under Kevin Stallings, and if you got hot for 5 days, you're in, man. I mean, that's the way that works. I'm okay with that.
You're at peace with that, like taking a spot from a more deserving team potentially.
Because
that's the other. Say there are two group of five schools who are obviously better than Pitt, and one of them is going to be left out in the cold.
If they're going to expand the playoffs and they're not going to take the Power Five conference championship game winners, then why even have conference championship games? What's
money?
The point?
Exactly.
Revenue.
Yeah, but it's just like a ceremonial, symbolic thing.
Oh, man, like college football has never seen ceremonial, symbolic things that don't actually matter but are held fast to.
No doubt, but I think that's what the expanded playoff should be working to correct, that the champion is actually decided on the field and not by some mystical 12 people sitting in a room.
But it's still some of the teams that get in, 7 of the teams, I guess, are still getting in based on people in a room. So over half of your field for this 12-team tournament is still theoretically a very subjective group.
So what are you saying then? Like in your – so would you prefer a version of a playoff where let's just – to pull a team out of a hat, like Ole Miss would get in as an at-large team because they're ranked ahead of Pitt. They'd get in over a conference champion like Pitt. You like that better?
I mean, that's closer to what the NCAA basketball tournament is.
No, it's not, because they give all those conference champions the automatic berth.
I'm just talking about, like, down the line, you've got those controversial selections. It's also easier, by the way, to wash out those conference champs who don't really belong, because
like
you've got 68 teams, not 16 or 12.
If you went strictly by rankings in an expanded playoff, Pitt could beat Wake Forest and still not make the playoff.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is that what you're saying? You're saying the first top 12 teams would get in.
They would just take the 12 best teams, and they wouldn't look at who won what conference. It would just be whoever was best in their eyes.
I guess the thing I would like about that in theory is it might incentivize teams to start playing harder schedules where the losses don't hurt as bad and the wins mean more.
Yeah, but I like that.
I can hear Dorn in the back.
Yeah, but it might not. I mean, there's been times where teams have, because they played nobody in the non-conference, it actually helped them get into the playoff. Like when
Washington
made it over
Penn State
that year. So, all right. I think that was Zeiss texting in again to say, where's Dorn?
I'm ready
to drink.
Whose computer that is that's doing that to us right now.
I'm ready to drink.
I actually have a question for you guys. Do we have some time here?
Go ahead.
There's always time.
Yeah, we got to get to our giveaway. What do you got?
Okay. Well, you know, I was thinking about, obviously, the expansion of the playoffs, and I was thinking about the bowl games, and you know how guys are opting out of bowl games, right?
Right, yep.
You know, the big-time players. What's holding back from these bowl committees, these bowl games, of not offering, like, a week-long contract for NIL for these players to play in the game?
Like the bigger names?
Yeah, like, say like, Kenny Pickett is like, oh, I'm not going to play in the Peach Bowl. What's holding back?
Do you think
the
there's a risk that Kenny
offering them?
Do you think there's a risk? I'll redirect with a question. Do you think that there might be a risk that if they win this game, Kenny Pickett won't want to play in the Peach Bowl?
I think there's a possibility.
So do I.
I mean, I think there's a possibility. I mean, but what I'm saying is that if
make
if,
it worth their while, right?
Yeah, make it worth it. Say like a week, $50,000 for the week, and you represent us. The Peach Bowl in the bowl game to get them to play. Like, I'm going to sign that contract.
Man, all I'll say is this. I think that's a very interesting idea, but if you're like a big money first round type of guy and
it still might not be enough.
Yeah, like the money has to get wildly out of whack. I think for a lot of guys who are almost, especially a quarterback, when that's always a coveted position, you know what I mean, Doran? Like, maybe if you said to this guy, hey, Kenny Pickett, $500,000. You are the Peach Bowl ambassador, but that means you have to play. Then maybe you're going to bend his ear a little bit. But
follow
still.
Us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Keo Wexner, North Huntington, Uniontown. Coming up next, we have a free Go Unlimited car wash pass, which is good for an entire year to give away, at 412-928-9370. It is Steelers-Ravens trivia. Here's what we have. We don't have questions. We have sound bites. And they're bleeped.
Oh, man.
There's something missing in the sound.
Oh, man.
And you have to fill in the blank. If you do, 412-928-9370. You win a Go Unlimited pass from Wet Go for an entire year. 412-928-9370. Headline time, Donnie.
Beer Bar, Phoney and Muller, live and local, just like Mike's.
356, brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. Arthur Motes with us in 5 minutes. Doran Dickerson with us now in Charlotte. And then he's live with Zeiss tonight from 6 to 7:30 from ACC Championship Game Fan Fest. And then they're live for a special two-hour pregame tomorrow with Pompeiani to get you ready for Pitt and Wake Forest for all the ACC marbles. Right now, we have Steelers-Ravens trivia for a year's worth of Wet-Go car washes on the house from Wet-Go. Go Unlimited, their showroom car wash pass. If you want to go unlimited, you can sign up at getgocafe.com/unlimited. Here is Jay to lead us off. Hello, Jay.
Good morning, or good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Did you just wake up, Jay?
Yeah, Christ, I was working hard all night.
Nice.
Fair enough, a third shift man. We both respect that. We started on the graveyard
Jay,
shift
Jay, you sound
here.
Like a beer and a shot guy. Is that fair?
No, probably more beer.
Okay.
God,
fair enough.
Poor Donnie's in there like having PTSD. He's
all right,
like,
Jay,
well,
so here's what we got.
Again.
I've got a clip from a Steelers-Ravens game. The name of the player in the clip, his name has been bleeped out. You are going to hear the audio highlight. And then after you hear it, you're going to tell me the name of the player who's been left out, okay? You got it?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Got it.
1 yard away from a touchdown on second and goal. Second effort, touchdown. Two Steeler possessions, two impressive short drives, and 10 points. Well, if the extra point is good.
Bouncing off tackles and running over people in short yardage situation, you'd think would either be Bettis or Fuamatu-Ma'afala.
All right, who's the player's name that got bleeped out, Jay?
Willie Parker.
Wrong. Thank you, Jay. Enjoy your beer. Next up, It's Jordan. Hello, Jordan.
How's it going?
Jordan, you more beer or more shot?
Oh, a little bit of both.
Okay.
Oh, Boilermaker, man.
All right, here comes your highlight.
Second and goal. Intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Brent Alexander.
And right now, Brian Billick just can't believe what he's seeing.
Whose name got bleeped out?
Ooh, picked off.
Yep, who is it? Who got picked off?
Dennis Dixon.
Nope. See ya. Phil is in Glassport. Hello, Phil.
One.
Phil, you ever been to a Steelers-Ravens game?
Not really.
No?
How is the answer to that not really? Like, is there something in the middle there? It's a yes or no.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. All right, here you go, Phil. Here's the highlight again.
1 yard away from a touchdown on second and goal. Second effort, touchdown. Two Steeler possessions, two impressive short drives, and 10 points. If the extra point is good.
Bouncing off tackles and running over people in short yardage situation, you'd think would either be Bettis or Fuamatu-Ma'afala.
Whose name got bleeped out?
I thought Willie Parker. Sorry.
So you don't have a guess?
Just take a guess.
Bye. He's gone.
Oh, I think God. I have both of them. Guys, I think
hold
I have
on. Do we have any more callers? We have
Let's
to
go
this?
To Merrill.
All right.
Merrill.
Merrill? Like Merrill? Haggard. No, no, no.
Yes. Merrill Hodge or Merle?
Merle like Haggard, right?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.